Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies helps save your business time and money. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in the programme this week, I'll be hearing how the Atlantic Technology University has been awarded €8.46 million in funding to spearhead the creation of the Semiconductor Photonics Education and Research Centre, which will be known as the SPEAR Centre. Now, this has been described as a game-changing investment for the Northwest region and is set to drive a new wave of innovation, upskilling and entrepreneurship in what is seen as a strategically vital technology. So do stay tuned for that. Before that, however, I want to tell you all about the recently launched Food Coast Donegal website and interactive map. Well, it's bringing together producers, experiences and the wider Donegal food story all in a single platform. The launch event was held in Castle Grove House in Letterkenny and brought together producers, chefs and those from the hospitality business from across Donegal to mark the occasion. The food and drink industry has been growing considerably in the county, and considerable potential exists for further growth. And no doubt, the Food Coast Donegal initiative will play its part. I've been finding out more about the Food Coast Donegal website, and indeed the growing network, from Lindsay Reynolds, the project facilitator, and also Seamus McDade, chair of Food Coast Donegal and managing director of Football Special. I began by asking Seamus about Food Coast Donegal, which was driven initially by the local enterprise office and has evolved over the years.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, the local enterprise office really did set up the very first Food Coast Donegal. And, you know, it went along for a number of years until a couple of years ago it became a solely kind of member-led organisation. So that has been a change in direction. The Leo are still very much involved and we're very grateful for all their, you know, not only their financial but their operational support that they give us. But now it's led by a board that's made up of all members, both food producers and hospitality outlets. And it is about now kind of trying to spread our wings and seeing how big and how strong we can make this network.
And your own company, Football Special, well-known, long-established, as you've seen in the last few years, there's been really an explosion in the number of new food and drink enterprises in this county, which augurs well for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's fantastic to see, you know, especially in the history of Football Special, there wasn't always as many other small businesses like us in the county. So it's really nice as a business owner in the county to see lots of other new members. And I suppose, you know, there is a move towards local food. And obviously our brand is and the growth in our brand is sort of indicative of that. So that would be true of opportunities for lots of other food types, food and beverages. So it is, there is a growth in local drinks and foods that have local provenance. So it's, you know, there's room for lots of small players now, which is just fantastic. And the Food Coast, then we just try and harness all of us together so we can teach each other things that we can learn from each other.
And there's a huge element of networking there, and this has been a real strength for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the things that we've always said is that from the very start of Food Coast, the thing that has always kept us together is this sense of unity between each other, and the idea that what's good for my business is also good for my neighbor's business, and if we work together, that we can help each other out. And I think that goes back to sort of Donegal roots, and the concept that we need to work together here because we mightn't get much outside support. And it's great. And look, we have in my own sort of sector, it's great. We have Mulrines, who are a big beverage manufacturer down to me, and Kinniger and Kombucha Nadalig, and we're all working together and we can all, share ideas. And it's just fantastic to be able to talk to other people like that.
Now, Lindsay, you are the project facilitator for Food Coast Donegal, and recently there was a new website launched, and so this is a big step forward.
Absolutely. We've never really had a real home for Food Coast Donegal in a digital way. So what we did is we got some funding through the STEER programme, an EU-funded programme administered by Westbic here in Donegal. And that enabled us to build not just a website, but also an interactive map of Donegal, which showcases and outlines all of the producers and the hospitality venues, and most importantly, the connections between them. So we really wanted to show people not only what we have here in Donegal, but also where they could buy it. You know, people really, as you said earlier, have, there's a real push for local, and people really want to know that when they're going somewhere, who they, you know, where their food is going to come from. So the idea with this new website is that there's member profiles, and by clicking on a member profile, you'll be able to see exactly where in the county you're going to be able to buy it. And similarly, if you're going to a hotel, you'll be able to see on a map where all of their producers and all of their suppliers come from within the county.
So Food Coast Donegal, in many respects, just brings this all together.
Absolutely. So that, you know, Food Coast Donegal is a network, and the fact that it's a member-led network means that the members decide what they need. And what we know from our membership is that they need community, they need opportunities to sell to each other and to understand where new channels and ways of business are. And they also need to be able to learn from each other. And the hope for this is by making this kind of online directory and map, that we'll have more members, which will be able to increase those benefits to all members.
So your role as facilitator, what are the chief aims for you?
Oh, for me, you know, I'm here just to showcase and elevate the members. So my job is very much behind the scenes. The people and the faces of Food Coast are all of those members, those currently around 100 members that we have signed up. And my job is just to provide the opportunities for them to increase their own bottom line by, you know, showcasing their businesses, looking for ways for them to participate in different events and to highlight their businesses any way I can.
Now, if you go into any restaurant, hotel, even shops, the visibility of Donegal produce is far greater than it used to be. So there's a real trend there to promote local products.
Yeah, there really is. I suppose in a world that's becoming more increasingly globalised, people are really starting to value what comes from their local area. People know that by buying something that's made locally or by supporting a business that purchases locally, not only are they creating employment, but they're supporting their local communities. We need to have the local support for these businesses in order to drive more employment opportunities and more businesses.
Now, Seamus, back to you. A lot of these small businesses, some of them are just one-person operations within the Food Coast network. Initially, their market may be very local, but then they can expand. And taking your own company, you know, based many years ago, starting off in Remelton, and now you have expanded, and this could happen to others.
I mean, we're very famously sort of only available in Donegal. So, yeah, I can attest to the fact that there is a business here in Donegal. And, it, you know, and as Lindsay said there, you know, there, it is about giving, so, you know, you come to a Food Coast event, if you're a new producer and you have a new product, you're going to have people from Castlegrove House there, from Cashin and Orr, from all sort of other outlets that can give you kind of direct feedback right away on, okay, yeah, that's a product that we could sell, or here's how to tweak it and move forward. So, and that's what we're trying to foster, that there would be an openness that an outlet would take an opportunity on a product or give feedback, and that the producer can go and then make a product that fits. So, you know, and we think there's great growth in that, and we're seeing lots of great, really great collaboration happening, and that's what makes it just fantastic, you know, to see. When you start seeing the collaboration between members, you go, all right, that's brilliant. You know, and be it from, you know, Little Mama's making a sorbet with the kombucha in it, to Filigan's Jam doing stuff with Silky Whiskey, and it's just really, you know, that's really inspiring, I think.
And although it's called Food Coast Donegal, important to say that the drinks industry, be it non-alcoholic or alcoholic, that's an area that's seen great expansion here in the county. There's distilleries in Ardra and Crawley and Muff, and there's an awful lot of products. We've got various beers, we've got football special. Hard to think this so much has happened in the last few years.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, 100 years ago, there was lots happening, you know, and we went through a period of consolidation where there was less and less of us. And now it's great to see a boom again, that people are coming back. And that's how it should be. There should be lots of indigenous small players that can, you know, which will support the local economy and will support local jobs. I mean,
you know, our role in the food coast is to make the football specials role, should I say, is to, you know, is to foster a business community here that will allow the next generation football special come up that won't be in our brand stable, that's somebody else's family business. From a football special perspective, that's kind of what we kind of feel like we need to give back to the county for all that is given to us. Obviously, our business then is about actually now, you know, moving from being world famous in Donegal to world famous from Donegal and going further afield. And that's what the other bigger brands that are, you know, and that's what we hope all the producers ultimately in the food coast will become. But this is about, trying to give the opportunities to get a start, you know, and then if you're further along your journey, that you can help other people come along with you.
Lindsay, the website is driven by the members and they pay a fee. So for somebody who's maybe listening to this and wants to find out more, what are the advantages of being part of Food Coast, of the Food Coast network?
So as well as having your listing on that website and being on that map and making those connections with other businesses, the real benefits of it are being part of a network. So being part of a louder voice about the Donegal community. So we're going to use this website as a vehicle to drive more interest in the entire food scene in Donegal. And we work off the premise that a rising tide lifts all boats. So the more, the merrier. Now, you do have to be using Donegal produce. You do have to be a supporter of Donegal producers, but I would urge especially the restaurants, hotels, retailers who and gift shops, especially ones who are focusing a lot on food, to get involved. So they'll get their listing, they'll also get invitations to our members networking events, and it's at those networking events where there's real value for members. There's something about getting people in a room together that really makes there's a different energy that's created. So at those events, we have them every couple of months. We have them in different people's businesses, and what I'll overhear is conversations about people talking about a shared problem about distribution, or you'll hear a chef talking to a producer saying, I didn't realize you made that, or could you grow this for me, or could you make this for me. So there's the possibility of being part of that. There's also access to our different, you know, internal channels of communication. There's a WhatsApp group, which everyone goes, oh God, not another WhatsApp group. But this is actually a very practical one. You know, I see the interactivity in there all the time, and it's real conversations, it's shared problem solving, and it's being part of that community. And then what we do is we partner with our local agencies like the ETB, like the ATU, to look for opportunities for industry-specific training for our members. So, for instance, we worked with the ETB last year and we ran two courses of Wessex wine training. That's a hugely expensive thing to put your staff through, and we got that fully funded through our partnership with ETB. So, you know, I said earlier, my role is to facilitate the membership. You know, I'm listening to what the members need, and we're building all of that into the €100 fee to become a member of Food Coast.
Now, looking at the website itself, nice and easy to navigate, very clear, different sections. And I was just looking, like, for example, there's food producers, food experiences, food retailers, food venues, and there's also a map. So very easy to get around. So just looking at some of them, like food producers, basically there's a list of the people there and you get links back to them and can find out more.
Yeah, so there's a list of people there, and then each member has their own page within the website, and in that you'll find out the information about the business. You'll be able to find out either where they're sold or where or what producers or what they're using as well, and then, you know, where to buy their products online, and links directly to their own page. And they're all, so you can look at them geographically. Graphically, you can look at them in a list, and then there's also an AI generated search on the page, so you can, you know, look for keywords or just search for something in your real language and it'll bring you up what you're looking for.
And interesting to note, quite a few businesses, it may be an additional income stream and an important one for some of them. We have food experiences, workshops, classes, places like Kinnegar Brewery or a Crawley Distillery, you can go on a tour. And these are becoming increasingly popular. And for visitors, it's an added item to look at.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we know that people, that tourists and even local people are looking for experiences. The days of just passively watching something are kind of over, and people are keen to get their hands on and get involved in things. So there's a huge rise in the need and also the offering of the food experiences here in Donegal. And we're working alongside Fáilte Ireland later in the year to map out all those different food experiences in Donegal. So we're going to use the website as a starting point, but we'll be looking for all of those other experiences. We ran a food tour last year as part of an international conference, and the feedback we had on that food tour, which was just bringing people around to different venues to meet either producers or the chefs and to try Donegal food everywhere, the feedback was amazing. So we know that there's a market for it, and we know that if members want to collaborate and put on their own events, we'll be able to help put them in touch with each other.
And important to stress that there are an awful lot of supports out there for people, particularly starting off, and maybe they need a bit of direction. It may not necessarily be financial, but it's often just getting shown what way to go.
Exactly. So, I mean, the local enterprise office here in Donegal are amazing for anyone even thinking of starting a business from incubation stage to growth stage. You know, they're there to hold people's hands all the way through. But one of the benefits of being part of a network like Food Coast, even before your business is fully established, is also that you can get involved and to get that peer-to-peer learning. And I think that's something that's harder to replicate in a formal environment, but it works very well in a forum like the Food Coast. You know, kind of mentoring, you know, older businesses, mentoring newer businesses, you know, being bouncing or sounding boards for each other, that all happens within it.
Seamus, there's a lot of new businesses out there. There's a lot of challenges for all businesses. Inputs have gone up a lot. And yet there's a great optimism, I sense, in this sector.
Yeah, well, I suppose, as I say, that there is a general market trend towards authentic food businesses, of which basically, you know, all our members are. So there's great opportunities in that. There are lots of challenges. It is a very, very difficult business environment right now. Costs are, you know, continuing to rise, and it's just a difficult business challenge, business environment. But the macro trends are good in that people are sourcing, are looking for the products that a lot of us are selling. So it is, and what we're hoping to, you know, what we're trying to foster as well is this sense of community that we can, you know, there is business inside the county that you can access as well, that can help you to grow. And, you know, I remember being at an American seminar once, and you know how the Americans are great at sort of cutting through the BS. And it was, you know, it was a guy who sold fruit and veg trying to sell to a restaurant. And, you know, the restaurateur said, well, listen, I can, you know, I can get that cheaper from Sysco. And the local guy said, well, look, I can guarantee you the chief executive of Sysco won't be at your funeral, but I'll be there. You know, and it is a very great story to express the idea that if you're a retailer in Donegal, I'll tell you right now, the chief executive of Coca-Cola won't be at your funeral. You know, but, you know, and that is the sort of thing we need to foster here, that if we can help each other, then we can equally grow through the business challenges that are put at us, because it is challenging to do business here. Now, like Lindsay said, there's great supports out there. I mean, the local enterprise office have been a huge support in Football Specialist's journey, and have been, you know, they're pivotal to what the Food Coast has achieved. So together we can try and overcome them challenges, but it's not to downgrade the challenges that are there. You know, there's input pressures are continuing to spiral. So, and that's the nature of the beast, I guess.
And Lindsay, many of the producers, Donegal has a good name for quality. We've got that green image there. Some of the products may well be premium products, and there can be extra margins on that. And is there a message, you know, don't be afraid to go to aim high and go for really top end of the market stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there is an element to that as well. But as well as that, Chris, I think people also often have a perception that you're going to pay more for buying local, and that's not necessarily true. If you're buying things that are seasonal, and if you're buying from somebody who doesn't have a large distribution line, you can get really good value. So, for instance, I do my food shopping, well, a lot of it down at the food market in Letterkenny on a Saturday morning. I'm paying no more for my vegetables or my meat there than I am in Dunn's. Now, I don't buy fillet steak, let's be real. But, you know, there's a perception that it's more expensive. But I do think that, you know, people are more discerning about what they spend their money on nowadays. And often, you know, yes, paying a little bit more is worth it in terms of your overall health, but also in your conscience, I suppose, of where your food comes from. You know, food chains are increasingly becoming longer and longer and a little bit vaguer, despite all of the regulation that goes around them. So I think, you know, the confidence in knowing that you're buying something that you know where it comes from is something that people are often willing to pay a little more for.
And significantly, there's that taste benefit as well. I know a farmer who sells from the side of the road, and he was making the point that you go into a supermarket and the onions could have come out of the ground a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And he knows, and funnily enough, the feedback he got was the biggest was for the onions, because they could have been dug that morning on the table that evening, and he said, when you're cutting them up, the eyes are streaming so much more than the other onions. And likewise for the restaurants and hotels in Donegal, there's that push there to use the local produce, because when it's fresher and it hasn't had that long journey, you get a better end product.
Absolutely. I'm brought back to a story of some kids I know who were in school, and John from Ballyholy Farm actually went into their school and they did a taste test on carrots with them. So he had supermarket carrots and he had his own carrots, as you say, freshly dug. These are children who did not care about carrots before. They had no interest in them, but they came home and they went, oh my God, guess what we tasted today? And they were able to talk about the difference in the sweetness and the texture of a carrot from John from Ballyholy compared to a supermarket. And that really, you know, that's just an example of what a difference that it can make. People do remember what the food tastes like. I think people are going out to eat more or eat less because it's expensive, but they want more for that. And they want to make sure that they're getting things, that their meals are memorable and that they're tasty. So that's where the local producers come into it.
Seamus, the website, in many respects, this is just a really good new shop window for all involved.
Yeah, this is what we kind of think is, you know, it's our digital infrastructure, and we hope it's kind of our first, our first sort of home for the Food Coast and the infrastructure of the county, as such, or the commercial infrastructure anyway. This is our first stage. It's an important stage, and it's taken an awful lot of work, and Lindsay has been at the forefront, and she's done all the hard work. Basically, people, the board members like myself just come along when the canapés are being handed out. This is the start of a journey that we're very excited to be on. And we've got, you know, a fantastic board and fantastic member base that are really passionate about what they're doing. And it actually instills an awful lot of confidence in what the future of the county is, especially in the food sector.
And we have places like Dingle, Kinsale. Donegal can be right up there as a food destination.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we kind of use both of them places as kind of our North Star as to where we're trying to get to. And I mean, I remember as a kid that 20 years ago going to Kinsale to a food festival, like, so this is how many years behind we are. But we believe that we have lots of natural advantages here as well. We can catch up pretty quickly. So we have very lofty ambitions, because one of the beauties of the Food Coast being sort of member-led as well is that we all have very ambitious business people in our own right. So when you put all these ambitious people together, you've got hugely lofty goals. So yes, we would like to be like Kinsale, but we'd also maybe like to be like Parma or somewhere in Italy that has really leaned into this in a bigger way, or some of the places in New Zealand that are able to export with a branded story around it. And that's where we'd like to get to. So if we're looking back at 20 years, that's where we would like to be, that there's people flying in here exclusively for the food offering that the county has to offer.
And on that point, Lindsay, Donegal can learn from the experiences of other places who may well have made mistakes along the line, so we can kind of catch up there quickly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the models are there. Those towns, those regions are all there, and there's loads that we can learn from that. There's actually a conference in September of different food networks. So there's an ability to do that. But what we have here is we actually have everything here in the county. So people kind of laugh when I say that. But we're making our own salt, we're making our own oils, we've got the best of seafood, we have the most amazing grass-fed beef because it rains all the time, so there's loads of grass. We have fantastic vegetables. And what we have here is there's a certain grit that, in order to run a business up in Donegal, there's a certain grit that's needed. It's logistically, it's harder, you know, it's further away. The county's insanely big, you know, so there's all these barriers in front of it. But that means that the people who are running those businesses have a grit and determination that you mightn't get in somewhere that has a nicer climate and has easier access to it. So I think we're really well placed to be able to compete at an international level with any of those places.
And if people want to look up the website, what's the address?
www.foodcoastdonegal.com, and we're also on Instagram and Facebook at that address.
Well, my thanks to Lindsay Reynolds, project facilitator, and also Seamus McDade, chair of Food Coast Donegal and managing director of Football Special. And that website address again is foodcoastdonegal.com. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Join me again after the break when I'll be finding out about a cross-border initiative supporting small and medium enterprises across 12 counties on both sides of the border.
and giving them an opportunity to explore and adopt photonics. That's the science and technology of using light and AI-driven solutions.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Principalize Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Principalize keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Principalize helps save your business time and money.
Welcome back to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Atlantic Technology University has been awarded more than 8 million euro in funding to spearhead the creation of the Semiconductor Photonics Education and Research Centre, which will be known as the SPEAR Centre. Led by the ATU's WISAR Lab in Letterkenny, in partnership with Ulster University and the Tyndall National Institute at University College Cork, and also anchored by industry partner Seagate Technology, the SPEAR Centre will position the region as a dynamic hub for semiconductor photonics, one of the world's fastest growing and most strategically vital sectors. The project is supported by the Peace Plus programme managed by the Special EU Programmes Body, and 100% innovation funding is now available. A series of roadshows are planned for Letterkenny, Derry, Ballymena and Buncrana. The project lead is Nick Timmons, and I've been speaking to him to find out more about this subject, what it entails and the opportunities that exist. Nick, many thanks for joining us on the programme. We're going to talk about the SPEAR Centre and a number of roadshows that are taking place. So, first, I'm just going to ask you to explain to our listeners what exactly the SPEAR Centre is, how it's been funded, and what it's going to do in the next few years.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the opportunity to talk about it. Well, the SPEAR Centre, what SPEAR stands for, Semiconductor and Photonic Education and Research Centre. So it's based on a response from the EU to make EU more resilient around chips and semiconductors and photonics to get more of that inside. So there's been a big push in that area. So we had a long-term 10-year plan to with our partners in Ulster and Tyndall and in Seagate to make the Northwest a hub for semiconductor knowledge, skills and innovation, and really make a cluster around an anchor company like Seagate who are moving into photonics. So photonics is basically anything to do with light, technology to do with light, but it's photonics chips, unlike our standard semiconductor chips that power all our devices, will actually be faster, will transmit more data. They're based on light rather than electrical signals and radio signals, so that's people are familiar with optical fiber, but we're getting this down into the chip level now. So huge capacity of data, but without the inefficiencies and heat generated by other types of semiconductors. So that's the sort of technology side of things. But it's about education, and it's also about bringing this innovation to the Northwest. We had a plan, and we do have a plan around 10 years. And we initially approached the government about this, and it was a £65 million plan around education and semiconductor clusters and all of that. But and it was very favorably received by the governments on both sides, but they didn't get around to funding it. So we went for Peace Plus funding. So this is what the SPEAR Centre now has been funded by. It's been successful in the recent Peace Plus calls. So this is a Peace Plus fund managed by SEUPB. So it's an £8.5 million project. And as I said, we've got three partners. It's led by ourselves here in the WISAR Lab and Atlantic Technological University in Letterkenny. And we have our partners, Ulster University in Derry, and the Tyndall National Institute down in Cork. Now, they are a photonics research centre and a leading photonics research centre across Europe. So they really underpin this in terms of the technology, and they're really supporting us in the Northwest here to deliver this sort of knowledge and expertise and innovation. So the idea is that we have three tracks in this project. We have a deep tech research track, which is funding 15 PhD students, all of which have been signed up at this stage, across the three institutes. But what we're really what I'm really on to talk about today is the second track, which is the SME or industry innovation track, where we're providing 100% funded technology and innovation solutions to SMEs from all sectors. So we have these roadshows that are coming on stream. We've got four dates. So they're lunchtime roadshows. I'm not going to take, it's only going to be a maximum of 2 hours. It will include lunch. We're going to roll it out over four different locations initially, and then later in the summer and autumn, we'll do a few more. So the initial locations are Letterkenny, the CoLab in ATU in Letterkenny on the 17th of June, the Catalyst Centre in Derry on the 18th of June, and then Ballymena on the 6th of July, the Ecos Hub, and then Anish Owen Innovation Centre in Buncrana on the 7th of July. So that's the first four roadshows. So you just go to the one that's closest to you. And really what we're going to do in an hour and a half or less than an hour and a half, followed by lunch, is to just introduce to SMEs what the Spear Centre project is about, how they can avail of these 100% funded opportunities, how they can engage with us and sign up for this sort of work, and how they can start the process of talking to us. Ourselves and Ulster will be delivering these projects mainly, but we'll be underpinned and backed up by Tyndall as well. And all three partners will be at all of the roadshows available to talk to companies and their representatives and just explain to them what the project's about. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about how photonics can benefit SMEs. So, you know, we see it going into all sorts of sectors, you know. As an industry research group ourselves in Wiser, we're very, you know, we have a long sort of 20-year experience now delivering projects into local companies, and we work with fisheries, agriculture, tourism, technical companies, you know, right across the gamut, all sorts of sectors. And so we'll talk a little bit about our capacity to deliver and our track record. But we'll also end up that session with an interactive session. We're calling it Identifying SME Needs, where we'll get the companies to tell us what they want from us and how they want us to deliver and what are the barriers they see in talking to technical companies like us and our technical sort of research centres like us. So we're doing our best to really explain what we're up to. But ultimately, I can't stress this strongly enough, it's 100% funded opportunities for companies here to avail of technology solutions. So we can come in, for example, and just do an assessment with them. We can go through their processes, manufacturing, whatever, see what their problems are, they'll have some idea of what we can deliver in terms of digital and electronic technology backed up by photonics. So we can go through that assessment, we can deliver them the project. So we're well experienced in that. And we have the two groups plus Tyndall. So we've just different sets of skills across the two sort of research groups.
And the whole field of photonics, it's a term I have to say I hadn't heard of till very recently. How far down the development and new technology road are we? Is it something that's going to become quickly a household name, something that all businesses will be aware of?
Well, in a way, it's already around us. I suppose the real research, you know, if you think of laser processing and optical sensing and imaging and fiber optics, we're already using light to transfer huge amounts of data around our telecom system anyway, you know, in optical cables. So all that connectivity is all part of the photonics world. Where the research area is happening now is actually at chip level, where instead of semiconductor chips that go into our phones and our TVs and our computers based on silicon, we're looking at photonics chips that are based on not electrical signals, but based on light. And the advantages of light is it's faster, more capacity for data. It's basically answering the call for the huge amounts of data that we're continuing to require to run our electronic systems in our households and our cars, you know, everything around us, really, you know. So it's a response to that. So in one way, it's all around us. You can think of sort of in healthcare and life sciences, laser surgery, you have medical imaging, you've got biosensors. If you think of your watch, a smartwatch, you have a little lights in the bottom that are measuring your sort of heart rate and pulse and stuff like that. So all of that is part of this big photonics family. We're talking now about trying to get a cluster and a hub of the semiconductor side of that growing in the Northwest. And really it's about regeneration. It's bringing high skilled jobs, lots of new training, new ideas. So out of our sort of doctoral college, which we have 16 students now, we would like to see maybe startup companies coming out of those. You know, we always like to see a PhD project ending up in a startup company, and that's a small company that starts up and then it grows. So this is what we ideally want to see: growth in the knowledge, growth in the number of SMEs working as a hub and a cluster, and a growth in this technology in this area. There's no reason why it can't be up in the Northwest as well as other parts of Europe, you know.
Now, you're also a director of Wiser Lab at ATU in Donegal. Just tell us a little bit about its whole background, because it's been established for quite a long time.
Yeah, I suppose we really got off the ground. We had a few false starts, but we finally landed on a name and got our first grant from Enterprise Ireland, I think, in around 2008. And so we set it up then. It was quite small, and we've had our ups and downs over the years, but we're quite well established now. We've had our most successful year, so we've probably pulled in, you know, probably worth 40 million of funding over the last sort of nearly 20 years now. You know, we've worked with nearly 400 companies. We were always very much an industry focused research group. That was our first real big effort, was to look after industry, because of the background of the regional college, which became LYAP, which is now a university. It sort of gradually moved over, and research has become a bigger part of it, and that's a good thing. But because research really underpins any technology you deliver into an SME. So we've worked with all sorts of companies, as I say, you know, all the regional, local companies, national companies. The Wiser main sort of area of expertise is embedded systems and wireless systems and Internet of Things network. So anywhere where you need a wireless network or a wireless connection, transmitting data around a factory or in your own business, or, you know, we've done all sorts of things, really. We've turned our mind into just general electronics as well, lots of different projects, but that's where we've come out of. And this isn't a big leap for us in a way, because the collaboration with Tyndall came about when we were working with Tyndall. Their expertise was in photonics and research, but not so much in going out and delivering practical solutions to companies. And they wanted to team up with somebody like us who could do that, you know. So really transform the sort of research and technology into practical solutions for companies, and, you know, ultimately make them more efficient as well. Get them to understand the benefits of photonics and this technology, but also to help build this sort of capability and transform this region. Now, this project will run for 4 years. It'll run until December 2029. But we expect before we get to the end of this project, we'll have hopefully acquired more funding, and we'll be building on the outputs from this initial startup, you know. So we see it as a 10-year plan.
And at the end of, say, that 10 years, like, briefly, what would you like to see sort of the end goal being at that stage?
Well, at the end of it, I would like to see that there's now a proper industry where there's companies delivering and working and feeding into a semiconductor manufacturer, and that we're actually producing not only we're producing engineers and researchers in this area, and they're working locally in these companies, these small companies that are getting bigger and feeding into bigger companies. And when you get a cluster and a hub like that, then you attract a bigger, you know, you attract more companies, international companies, into the area. So I'd like to see that we were on the cusp of something like that in 10 years, that we had traction as a hub and a knowledge center and an area of expertise and knowledge. That's ideally what we'd like to see.
And finally, Nick, if people want to find out more about these roadshows, or indeed find out more about yourselves and what's happening, how can they go about that?
Well, I suppose the easiest way is just to get onto our website, which is we're Wiser, W-I-S-A-R, so wiser.ie. You get onto that website, you'll get the Spear Center link. And on the Spear Center link, there'll be links to all four events. They're Eventbrite, so you can just click on the link and you can book your place at any or all of the events. So wiser.ie is the main website. And if you can't get us through that, you'll get us through the main ATU website, but wiser.ie will be the way to get access to these roadshows. So first one will be next week in Letterkenny, and then we follow by Derry, Ballymena, and then Buncrana.
And that was Nick Timmins, project lead for the Spear Centre. And the Spear Centre is supported by the Peace Plus programme, managed by the Special EU Programmes Body. Well, that's just about it for this week's Business Matters. Just before I sign off, it was great to see more recognition this week for the Ardra Distillery. It was named Best Irish Craft Distillery at the recent Tokyo Whiskey and Spirits Competition, while its Ardra Single Malt Cask Strength won a double gold medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. By the way, if you wish to contact the programme, the email address is businessmatters@highlandradio.com. And don't forget, this programme can be found in the playback section of the Highland Radio website, as well as being a podcast. As always, may I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Business Matters is brought to you by Principal Ice Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Principal Ice keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Principal Ice helps save your business time and money. Email sales@principalice.ie to find out more.